So hello and welcome to ESPN Cricket Info Stump Mic, our post-match special, or shall we call it the Rahul Tevatiya Appreciation Podcast, or we can even call it Rahul Tevatiya, where sorry we ever doubted you. I'm Karthik Iyer and I have with me Gaurav Sundaraman and Devan Sen. Gaurav, we'll start with you. Let's just play all IPL matches at Sharjah, shall we?
Yeah, I think it's... I was just talking to my friend during the match. I have no memory of Sharjah, especially in the 90s, where the ground sizes were so small and people were smoking sixes left, right and center. This seems very unreal to me suddenly. And we did expect high scores before the tournament, but not in this way. What, 33 sixes in the first game? The last I counted, it was 28 for this game. So that's like pretty crazy, but it's entertainment. And the fact is, look, not all matches are going to be like this. And we have Dubai and Abu Dhabi to kind of compensate for this. So I'm totally okay with this kind of entertainment in Sharjah. It's perfect. And how many of you really... I did not even feel the fact that there were no crowds. Did you guys... Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, if you look, if you compare it to other sports, and it, see, I watch a lot of football. I'm wearing a Brazil jersey as well. And when we saw, when the leagues came back in June, in May, towards the end of May and in June, there was this thing that there are no crowds. It's a football stadium. How can you not have crowds? But after a while, you just get used to it. And especially when they pipe in sound, I enjoy it. And I love it when sometimes the guy in charge of that gets it wrong. Like he thinks it's going for six and the cheering starts and then suddenly it's caught. So that's sometimes it's a lot of fun. Let's put it simplistically, but about this match, Devan, I will just give it to you in brief. The Kings 11 Punjab lost to the Rajasthan Royals by 4 wickets. Now explain to us what exactly happened.
Yeah, first of all, I want to really commend Gaurav for this really, you know, sexy, soft voice that he's got going on these podcasts. I want to know like what equipment he's using, because I would love to borrow that and try and sound just as good. And secondly, offline, I mean, Gaurav may not believe me, but I was telling Karthik that right from the first over, I felt Rajasthan Royals were very much in with a chance, because I thought they managed the chase beautifully. I think it got a lot more dramatic because of Tevatiya's go slow in the middle. But apart from that, especially with the way that Steve Smith had started, especially with the way that Sanju Samson had begun, they were pretty much always scoring at about 11 runs an over. Not an hour, obviously. But that's a phenomenal rate of scoring. And I think this is the kind of match which will again make all the teams just look at the form guide, and they'll have to drop some new plans for Sharjah. I think they'll have to pack their team with 11 batsmen or something, or maybe go the other way around. You know, play nine bowlers and 2 batsmen and just hope that they do the job. Because it looks like even 260, 270 might be chased down one of these days at Sharjah. It's really incredible. Great game of cricket. And just on that point of the absence of crowds, I'm just wondering in my head, I mean, is it perhaps a little easier for batsmen, because there's no crowd noise? There is obviously artificial simulation, but you're able to hear calls better. You're able to think a lot with a lot more clarity. And on a ground like Sharjah, with this kind of deck, it's lambs to the slaughter for the bowler with no crowds, nothing to pep you up. You're just running in and basically trying to avoid getting hit for a six every ball.
Yeah, but I do not know if Rahul Tevatiya will agree with that. At one stage, he was 5 of 13 balls when he came in. He was 14 of 21 balls. When Sanju Samson got out to Mohammad Shami and Uthappa hit a couple of boundaries, there were 3 overs to go. And the Rajasthan Royals needed 17 per over. I mean, it's a pretty impossible game from there on. And then it was Sheldon Cottrell to Tevatiya. And I'm just going to read out the over to you. 6-6-6-6.6, Gaurav. At that moment, I mean, it's the most obvious thing to say, but the game changed.
Yeah, I just feel Punjab never expected this to happen, the way Tevatiya batted before that. So I just assume that they kind of thought they won the match. That's the feeling I got. They really, if you see that over carefully, Cottrell didn't try any of those wide yorkers. He didn't try any kind of proper death bowling. And before the tournament started, Punjab's biggest problem was their death bowling, which is in Mohammad Shami and Sheldon Cottrell. That's what we discussed. Most of our experts in our preview videos told the same thing. And this was the first time they were tested. And I really think it was more of a mental thing which Punjab felt. They really thought they had the game in the bag. In fact, they might have even thought that, okay, let's keep Tevatiya on strike. So I just felt that's where Punjab lost it. They were slightly overconfident. I think when you saw the post-match presser, when they were asking KL Rahul, he kind of was shocked. He said, this is a funny game. It made me realize that you can't... whatever. You can't think that you won the game.
He also said it keeps you humble. This cricket, the game of cricket keeps you humble. Yeah.
I guess that's how I read that entire situation. And yeah, it played into Tevatiya's hands.
You know, one theory of mine, Gaurav, I wonder if you agree. Just looking at the way that Tevatiya had gone, I felt the 18th over could have been given to Ashwin. He had three overs in his bag. Of course, maybe the math that KL Rahul was doing was that Cottrell had two overs. So he wanted him to bowl out the 18th and the 20th. But we saw that Ravi Bishnoi posed him a lot of problems. Maybe he got dissuaded by that six that he hit coming down. But we know that Tevatiya doesn't really use his feet. And Ashwin, in the last over, got a wicket with his googly. Maybe six googlies could have completely changed that game.
Yeah, I agree. In hindsight, it looks a good plan. But yeah, maybe it was worth trying. But like you said, I think the 18th over and 20th over was what Rahul was planning for. And yeah, you know, maybe it was just his day. It's still pretty unbelievable, you know, to just see that. And like Debayan said, when the chase started with Samson and Smith, it was always okay. But in my mind, it was always about these two wickets. And then Rajasthan had no batting. And I'm totally for the strategy of them sending in Tevatiya. In fact, before the match, before just as soon as the toss happened, I did mention that Rajasthan have 10 right-handers and one left-hander in the middle. And he was slated to come in towards the end. And the strategy was that Punjab had two leg spinners and Tevatiya was able to tackle that. It just so happened that the spinners got the better of Tevatiya and he ended up hitting the pace bowler. So as a strategy, it is still totally fine. Yes, it didn't come off for the first half and it did come off, and you're not going to see such performances very often. So it'll either work or it will not work. It's very hard for what Tevatiya did today is like a once in 10 years kind of an innings.
What was the lowest forecaster that we had? Probability, I think 9%, right?
That was at the start. It did go down to about 6 and 5%.
Okay, let's go back to the early stages of Tevatiya's innings, the struggle. It was he had faced 12 balls, which the commentary team, I mean, kind enough to remind us that that is two overs, and in a chase where you need to go at about 12 runs per over, that's probably not acceptable. And this brought us to a discussion that I want your opinion on as well. Yesterday on our show T20 Timeout, we had Sanjay Manjrekar and Akash Chopra. And they were talking about the concept of retiring out a player. And they were of the opinion, rightly so, I think most of us will agree, that the stigma associated with it should be removed from the game. This was prime Tevatiya candidacy for being probably the first person to be retired out in a T20 match. Thankfully, Rajasthan didn't do it. But Gaurav, would you have blamed them if they had used this tactic? And what do you make of this tactic as a whole?
I'm a big believer of this particular tactic. For over the last 2-3 years, I've been mentioning the same thing. Fielders purposely dropping catches is the other way of looking at it from a bowling team's point of view. From a batting point of view, definitely you need to retire out. I don't think there's anything wrong. Imagine you had Andre Russell sitting in the dugout. Today you had Robin Uthappa and you had Tom Curran, Jofra Archer. Not the batsman where the bowling team would be really afraid of. But I think I'm a big fan. I still think just because it happened today this way, it doesn't mean that the strategy is wrong. I think you have to retire out if it just doesn't work. Even Mayank Agarwal, for that matter, today, I felt that after he scored his 100, he was really tired. It's not like he'd done his job. He played extremely well. And sometimes the heat, sapping heat, could maybe reduce his power and he couldn't hit the shots like he wanted to. So retire him out that way also. It's not only for the bad innings. It's a strategy that can be used across 20 overs. It can be used at any point in time. Maybe Puran, we saw what Nicholas Puran did in that 2 overs. Maybe if he had 5 overs, I will never blame the batsman for this defeat, but still 223 could have been like 240, you know. And so retired out as a concept should be there. And I've spoken to a lot of cricketers and coaches over this particular concept. It's very hard for a cricketer to think that, okay, I'm going to go out because I can't bat. It's a big, big problem on their ego. And it has to be drilled from the top. Management at the start of the season, the management, the coach, all of them get together, talk to the players and tell them, boss, this is a team culture. We're going to do this. And And that's what we're going to do. It doesn't mean anything that the player is bad, player is not good or anything. It is something we're going to do to win these 14 games. If somebody is not in good form in that particular day, we will use this strategically. All of you, please buy into this. So that's the only way it's going to work. It has to be drilled from either the ownership group or the coach. A player is not going to do that on his own. In fact, the late Dean Jones actually is a big believer of this particular concept. He has spoken to me personally that the fact that he would do it if he could. It's just that the buy-in is very hard, Karthik, for the player to actually decide that, look, I don't think I can do it and I'm going to get out purposely. That's not ingrained, you know. To preserve your wicket is what you've been taught all through your life. Suddenly to tell somebody, no, get out, then that's not going to happen.
And it's not a story that, you'll just hear from the past or something, especially if it happens nowadays. Like, as a cricketer, imagine that happens to any cricketer, for example, and then they go on social media. I mean, the reaction would be brutal to that cricket, and it's not healthy as well. On the flip side, Deva, and now we're saying it may be okay to retire out a player, but here is Rahul Tewatia, a number four batsman, being refused a single by Sanju Samson at one point. It made what he did later even better. It made him stand out a lot more, but that can do so much harm to your confidence. And Sanju Samson, to be fair, had every right, because Tewatia was struggling at that moment, and Samson would go on to hit three sixes in that over. But I mean, it's amazing how he came on from that.
Yeah, at that point of time, I think it was absolutely the right decision. It's not so much about Tewatia being a number four batsman or coming in at number four as he did, but the equation, what was required, and the way that Samson was striking the ball. I think today, through everything, I mean, of course, the headlines will be a lot about Tewatia, but we've got to just stand up and salute, you know, what an innings from Sanju Samson. Because unlike, Gaurav spoke about the exhaustion, and even I referred to it on our Slack channel in office. I was saying that the only opponent at this moment for KL Rahul and Mayank Agarwal is their exhaustion. But you saw that Sanju Samson is a super fit guy. He was striking the ball cleanly and effortlessly right through till the last ball. And in fact, he actually didn't use up that much energy because he was striking it so beautifully and he didn't need to run a lot through that innings of his. So the way he was going, he could have just finished it off. And that's, again, a point I was making, that I think now teams will start looking at Sharjah matches as, you know, 120 balls where they can hit 126s, literally. Because it's pretty much a count of sixes. I think that is what's going to win you matches on this short ground. And teams have to start investing in players simply, just packing their side with players who can hit sixes. It doesn't matter about your technique. It doesn't matter about, you know, which position you bat in. Whatever happens, just go out there and blast it. And just to add to Gaurav's point, you know, one match it reminded me of the Kings 11 Punjab innings and our discussion about retired outs. You remember the World Cup game where India, I think they played South Africa and they were probably bowled out for 297 or 299. After being some 150, 160 odd for one at one stage. So it sometimes happens even in, you know, longer formats that you get into a situation where you're in such a good position that you're on hiding onto nothing. And it actually gives the bowling side a little bit of a chance. So I thought it was similar today when the first Punjab wicket fell. They were at 180 odd from just something like 16 overs. And from there, the only way to go down was really just like, you know, see that run rate drop off. And that's what happened. So in that situation, why would you not want a batsman to voluntarily give up his wicket? You know, as kids, we've done that, hit out or get out, whatever, you know, just strike your stumps and walk off or something. But yeah, it can be a tactical move because you need some of your bigger impact hitters down the order to have a few balls out there.
The other thing is, I just could see Rahul's slight inexperience, which is natural. This is his third T20 he's captaining. So the fact is, they didn't try anything different. I would like have wanted them to do something like Kotil coming around the wicket, which is not very common. Maybe give an angle or try something else. Even the Rajasthan bowlers in the Punjab innings didn't really try anything very different. We saw Delhi doing bowling around the wicket to MS Dhoni the other day to make sure he can't hit. So I think in terms of trying something different with respect to the bowling plans, I would like teams to do more of that in Sharjah. Maybe start off with your death bowling plan right at the start. Start bowling wide yorkers. The first ball of the match could be a wide yorker. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. So maybe we would start seeing better bowling plans moving forward.
Okay, so let's talk about Sanju Samson now. He finished with 85 of 42 balls. It was a match-winning innings, a deserved player of the match winner as well towards the end. Gaurav, if you saw his post-match interview, it was revealing. He literally said, after last year's IPL, it was a moment of reckoning for him. he sat down with his friends, family, decided that he wanted to play cricket for another 10 years. This is exactly what he wants to do. He improved his fitness and he said that this is going to be my passion for life, probably. I mean, it just seemed like a bulb has switched on in Sanju Samson.
Yeah, and just before the broadcast started, Star Sports had a small segment on Sanju Samson. He turned vegan for 2 months. He has his own nets in his house. He has been practicing. He'd gone he's been doing fitness sessions with his trainer at the beach. And I'm sure there's a lot of power which he's gained in this lockdown. So lockdown has done more good to him than a lot of other cricketers. So that's pretty amazing. So if somebody's really worked in this game, hopefully this is the time he peaks. But he started off in 2013 and it's been 7 years it's taken for him to peak. And I can kind of draw a parallel with Mayank Agarwal. You know, Mayank Agarwal also started around that time. He was in fact there much earlier. I think in 2011 or 12 he did play the IPL. He was partnering with Chris Gayle. Nobody really spoke about him. Then slowly he made it into the test squad after the great season. And now we are finally seeing Mayank Agarwal, the T20 player. So maybe this is the life cycle of a cricketer. It takes 6-7 years for somebody to make it big and you have different parts to it. So Mayank made it via the international route, whereas Sanju has been doing it. Maybe he's focused only on these 2 months of the year because his Ranji record and other List A records also not really outstanding to stake a claim in the Indian team setup. So Sanju has been amazing. And the fact that I've been living on the past IPL performances, both matches I missed taking Sanju Samson in my fantasy team. So maybe this is the time and maybe this is, hopefully he's consistent enough this time.
Yeah. When it showed that there came a statistic that this is Sanju Samson's 12th IPL 50, I would have expected it to be a lot more. It was like, it's only 12, Sanju? I mean, this guy it seems in my head at least that this guy has scored 450s in every IPL season.
Yeah, and every season he starts off with a billion century in the first 2-3 matches or some billion 70s, 80s, and then he completely tapers off. So everybody is waiting for him to have a consistent run. He scored 250s back-to-back for the first time in his IPL career. So maybe. See, I don't want to judge with respect to Sharjah. They are the only team to play 2 games in Sharjah. So let's see how he goes in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. They have just 1 more game in Sharjah. So if he continues to do this in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, great. Then this is the Sanju Samson we've been waiting for. But if he does not, then I don't know. So maybe I have to wait before I pick him again in my fantasy team.
Yeah, I think he strikes really big sixes. So I don't think Abu Dhabi and Dubai won't be that much of a problem for him. But the pitches are a bit livelier there. So he'll have to bide his time. He'll just have to be a bit more picky about his shot selection. He'll have to do a lot more hard running. And of course, the broadcasters keep bringing up, is he the successor to Dhoni? I hope, the selectors don't view him through that lens. I hope that they look at him perhaps as a pure batsman, because in this kind of form, he's probably going to fit into India's short form teams as well in the middle order, because we know that the middle order has been a problem for India in the past. And, why put excess pressure on Rishabh Pant? Although you have to see Pant's performance as well on the side. But yeah, Sanju Samson, for him to have this kind of an IPL, if he can sustain this form, that's going to be fabulous for Indian cricket overall.
And I generally judge an IPL player based on how well they do against Mumbai, because they generally plan extremely well for each and every batsman. So I'm waiting to see if Sanju can, maybe the 140 plus bowlers, he's still not faced such kind of bowlers yet. So maybe when he faces Bumrah or when he faces James Pattinson, we might see some... I'm waiting to watch that. That'll be an exciting battle. If he can crack these particular matchups and again, maybe against Kahiso Rabada. So these are things which I'm looking forward. And yeah, that will tell you whether Sanju Samson has reached his peak or whether he's still the same old Sanju Samson.
Yeah. And you mentioned Debba and the big sixes. I loved it today when a couple of times the ball went out of the stadium and there's a crowd there to sit and gather the ball. That was pretty fun. It's like a nice memento. I hope they get to take it home. I don't know what the rules are probably there. But yeah, that was pretty nice. And let's talk now about Mayank Agarwal. I mean, it's taken us more than 18 minutes of this podcast to reach a guy who scored a century today. His first century in the IPL. Mayank scored 106 off 50 balls, an outstanding innings to take Kings 11 Punjab 223 for 2, as it was in the first innings. Mayank is so impressive. Yeah, I mean, in Test cricket, he shows a very different type of skill set, Deepa, and in this format, he's showing us that he can do almost everything.
Yeah, the beauty about both him and KL Rahul is that they are still very technically correct batsmen, even when they're going, you know, gung-ho in T20. And that's what's impressive about the way that they play. I thought the highlight of this innings today was that Jofra Archer over, where he banged in two shot and both of them sort of swiveled onto the back foot and played it away. Very reminiscent of a shot which Kapil Dev used to play, the Nataraj shot, you know, one leg in the air. And that just tells you about the kind of frame of mind that both these batsmen are in. Mayank Agarwal had runs in the first match. KL Rahul had that century in the second one. Today, yes, perhaps towards the end, a little bit of exhaustion getting the better of Rahul in particular. But Mayank Agarwal, that was a fantastic innings. I mean, most days, I think 9 matches out of 10, that would have been a match winner on its own right. But just got overshadowed by a couple of pretty unreal cameos later on. That's just his luck. But let's also remember the couple of fielding efforts that they put in. Oh, Nicholas Puran and that save, probably the best bit of fielding that we've seen in a long, long time. And then Mayank Agarwal himself, throwing himself around at the boundary, saving runs. I really felt for him today because he probably, on his own performance, probably deserved a victory, but just didn't get it. And that's life and that's sport sometimes.
Yeah, when he took that catch, I remember towards the end, I think he's the one who caught Tevatia, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he looked upset after taking that catch because the match was won by that point for the Rajasthan Royals. Gaurav, it's not fair to put any blame on KL Rahul, the batsman today, or is it in a way? Because his numbers were nowhere close to being as fast as we've seen it before, or very anywhere close to even what Mayank was up to.
No, I do understand why his numbers are like that. When one guy is playing so well, it doesn't make sense for the other person to also attack. Because if he gets out, you have a new batsman coming in. We did see Maxwell not being able to strike the ball as well as a Mayank or KL did. We did see that struggle, whereas Puran did manage to score. So we don't know what can happen. And maybe if Rahul had gotten out in the 11th or 12th over, maybe they would have sent in Karun Nair, who knows? Because that's exactly what happened the previous match. And you might fall short by 10, 15 runs. See, at the end of the day, you play the situation. And I think they did very well to score whatever they did today, which is a record-breaking score. And I wouldn't blame KL Rahul at all. I think this has been his role for the last couple of years to bat through the innings, and we saw what damage he did in the previous match. So I think what they've done well now is to ensure Chris Gayle cannot get into the squad. maybe if Chris Gayle plays these 51 deliveries, how many runs would he score? I'm curious to know. 175 came of what? How many deliveries? I don't remember that. But maybe they should. It's a case to add Chris Gayle also and make sure Mayank and Rahul go all out attacking Sharjah the next two matches they play. But yeah, Mayank's been amazing. We did see Rahul play like this in what, 2016 IPL and the 2018 IPL. Rahul played like this and then changed his game, and that lost him a test spot. So I'm very curious to see how Mayank handles these things. It's not easy. After this, they go to Australia. I hope, like Deban said, they're technically very sound. So this shouldn't really affect their game, but yeah, that's for another day.
Yeah. And we need to continue talking about Kings 11 Punjab, Deva. And I'll leave the last word with Kings 11 with you. They have somehow ended up losing 2 out of their 3 matches. I mean, the first match, they needed 1 run of 3 balls to win it. This match, they have scored 220 plus, and they've still somehow ended up losing them both.
Yeah, they really should have been the Leicester City. I'm sorry, the Delhi Capitals. That was completely intended. They should really have been the table toppers at this stage, shouldn't they? 3 matches, 3 of them pretty much winnable. But they've only got themselves to blame for the first one with their batting, you know, just at the end, just not being able to close it out. And over here with the bowling, as Gaurav said, perhaps a little bit of complacency, perhaps a lot of factors, the inexperience of Rahul as the captain. So all these things will, you know, hopefully get better as things unravel through this IPL. The good thing is now they've got this experience of having played at Sharjah, so they'll know exactly what to expect over the next 2 games. But this is just the thing. I mean, I don't think I'm going to get much sleep today just imagining what is the highest. Let's go for a round of like, what is the highest team total that we'll get at Sharjah this IPL? I think I'm going to go with 265.
I mean, we need to see which teams are playing when I'm waiting to see RCB.
Does it matter, Gaurav?
So let me also put let's be bold and say 300. Big deal. First ever 300 in T20 cricket.
300 in a T20 game. Gaurav Sundaraman has called it. Okay, we'll come full circle on the discussion about this match and we'll end it with Rahul Tewatia again, Gaurav. At the end of the game, in his post-match interview, he said that that was the worst 20 balls that I have played. Have you seen those letters that people write when they're at a certain age to their 18-year-old selves? I think Rahul Tewatia at the end of the innings could write a letter to himself saying that 20 balls in, don't worry, it will be all right. Yeah, yeah. So but that was outstanding. Final words on Tewatia and on Rajasthan Royals' performance.
Yeah, I just tweeted before coming onto this podcast, it was one of the greatest troll innings, if you can call it an innings, when he trolled the entire world who watches the IPL. Because I don't think anybody even... I saw so many tweets criticizing him. I just put a tweet reasoning out why McDonald would have done this, because he had told us that they don't have any left-hander batting in their squad. So yeah, I am so happy for him, and I just hope he continues to do this job and does it more consistently. We don't want to remember these IPL one season wonders like Paul Valtati, and this 2020 shouldn't be for Rahul Tewatia. I would like him to perform more, because we don't know what's the state of Ben Stokes, and if he's not going to be here, I think it makes more sense if guys like Tewatia step up, and they need that, because it still feels that if Smith, Samson, Butler are out, this team still will struggle. So we need to wait and watch, but simply amazing. He's just shut the entire cricketing ecosystem up, and it's not easy to do that being a rookie.
I think even if they had gone on to lose, of course, there would have been a lot of criticism and trolling of Tewatia, but we shouldn't forget that he had a very good match with the ball in the first game as well. So he's a useful player to have around in that team, a floater. He's not really attractive to look at as a batsman, but he really hits it a long way, and he proved that quite amply today. And I mean, that struggle and then that finish just showed that there is sometimes, redemption in sport and in life. And today, in that sense, was redemption for Tewatia. And let's hope he kicks on to bigger things from here.
Okay, so we leave Rajasthan Royals' thrilling victory over the Kings 11 Punjab there. Now about the tournament in itself, and this has been one of my pet peeves during this entire week, Gaurav, and you've heard it constantly almost every day. Why are teams winning the toss and bowling? It's taken 7 days, but finally it has worked.
Just about worked. And I think this is just the second match where team won the toss has even won the match. Apart after Dhoni in game one, this is the first time it's happening. And I don't know, this due seems to be a huge factor for all these players. And today, I think it did come across as it played a huge role, because CSK, in spite of playing so poorly, Vijay scored 21 of 21 in the same pitch, in the same ground. And they still managed to get to close to 200. So I guess teams are going to go with this whole due factor. It's a huge thing. And I guess only when you're actually there playing and bowling with it, you really know how much of an impact it is. So maybe Bishnoi was not Bishnoi because of the due. So we need to see those factors, because he bowled brilliantly in Dubai and in the two matches he played at Dubai. So maybe it's a huge factor which we'll never understand. I think you're going to see Karthik next week. Next Sunday, we'll do a pod, and maybe you'll have another week full of teams winning the toss and choosing to bowl.
You remember in 97, I think there was an Independence Cup in Pakistan, and the same thing used to happen. Every time a team batted second time, they would just have it as a cakewalk, because the ball would effectively become like a bar of soap. It would become so, full of dew. And as it rolls along the outfield, it just gets worse. So, yeah, it's a bowler's nightmare, and that's why it's so difficult to calibrate your first inning. You might be going perfectly well, as we've said today, Kings 11 Punjab, no discredit to their batsmen. They did everything they could. But in the end, like Gaurav also mentioned a little while ago, maybe 224 also was about 15-20 short. So, yeah, I mean, just keep expanding that horizon and keep expanding the ledger.
Yeah, Deban hits told a perfect point now. When you're batting first, you never know what the right target is. And that is the only thing which I think only Dhoni has kind of mastered it in the history of T20. He knows what a pass score is, which is why he generally does well, whereas most captains don't. And especially on wickets like this. This is like Chinnaswamy with Wankhede and Johannesburg combined. That's how I look at the Sharjah venue. Add in St. Kitts also there, which is another 50, 55, 60 meter bound.
In the size of the Shantinagar ground, Shantinagar for our listener is, of course, where our office, erstwhile office used to be. And all of us have played some like passionate games of tennis ball cricket over there. Many, many a six has been smart there.
Yeah. Now, of course, we're all working from home. Devayan, we hope that you get some sleep tonight. Like, don't just stay awake reliving Tewatia's entire innings. Gaurav, before we say goodbye to you, on our previous podcast, you said this is the game to look out for on the weekend, which is the next game that all our listeners 100% need to catch.
It will be a surprising answer, but actually tomorrow's game is something I'm very excited for. It's Virat Kohli's RCB versus Rohit Sharma's Mumbai Indians. And remember, RCB had coming after the loss. One more loss against Mumbai Indians, and you know how your Twitter feed is going to be, Karthik. So let's just wait and see if Kohli and ABD can put it past the mighty Mumbai Indians.
Yeah, Kohli versus Rohit is always a quiet day for social media, right?
It's that late in the night that Gaurav hasn't realized that it's not tomorrow, it's now today for you, Gaurav, and for all our listeners as well. Devan and G-Stats, thank you so much for joining us on Stump Mike, our post-match IPL specialist. We'll see you next time.